Welcome to the 471st episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome and thanks for listening. Well, you just have me tonight, so on with my rambling. I am back training. I am rehabbing my ankle still. It's getting there. A little bit more running each day. Mileage is up. Adding in some hills, so things are moving in the right direction in anticipation of towing the start line for the Cruel Jewel 50 in May. So not a whole lot of time left, but we're going to see what we can do because all of this is leading up to the big race in August, which would be the Leadville 100. So steady forward progress, the best that I can, and try not to get injured. That's kind of where we are. As far as the backyard goes, we're getting into the best time of the year, which is mango season. So little mangoes hanging on the trees. We had a little bit of wind here with the storms, so we lost some, but hoping to have some mangoes in the backyard this year. So that's pretty exciting. When drug reps come into a doctor's office and they show them the latest data on blood pressure pills, often they're looking at a 4 to 5 millimeter drop in blood pressure with the addition of a new medication. Not all that impressive. So that's why if somebody has really high blood pressure, to take it down with just medications, you often need multiple medications. But in the Journal of American Medical Association this week, they actually looked at a small group of people, 283 people, and what they did was they had them wear wearable devices so they could tell how much time they were standing during the day. And by increasing their standing 30 minutes, they saw a 4 millimeter drop in blood pressure. So just standing up helps as far as overall health. And of course, you know, most of that standing was probably associated with moving to some degree. People just didn't stand up in one position. Some people talk about a standing desk that they have. It's certainly helpful. I'm not a huge fan. I actually have a standing desk. I'm up and I'm down, but you have to watch your posture with those sometimes. Sometimes people get into even worse postures, slumped over, leaning over, on a standing desk. But you know, if you have the opportunity to stand up 31 minutes a time and ideally stand up and move an extra 31 minutes, just look what you can do with your blood pressure. We're into our walking challenge in the practice for the second week, and we still have people hanging on, and we have lurkers out there that are contemplating starting to walk. Some are starting to walk but just haven't got the courage to post anything yet, not quite ready to commit, but they're doing it on their own, so that's good. I am trying to write a weekly blog, or almost a daily blog, during this challenge, and you can get that for free by going over to drdelaney.com and signing up for our newsletter. And you know, we'll get the daily blog as well. I talk about the health benefits of walking and some uses as far as my walks in the morning and my take on movement in general. So if you'd like to have a little short read every morning from me, go on over and sign up for the newsletter. We'd love to have you. While you're there, you can, you know, think about signing up for even more. If you want to get access to our entire website, just for $25 a month, you get access to our mobility classes online. You get access to all our recipes and nutrition lectures as well. But, you know, if you just want to hear from a little bit more, dip your foot in the water, go on over and take a look. DOCTORDULANEY.com. If you are a golfer or look at the news at all, you will know that this is the weekend of the Masters, which is one of the major golf tournaments in the United States, held at Augusta National Park. And the winner gets a green jacket. The winner gets to actually, the previous year's winner, I think how it is, gets to pick the dinner for the night before. But it's a beautiful golf course, and if you're a golfer, you would only dream of playing on that immaculately kept golf course. Unfortunately, I don't believe they allow women to play on it, which has always been a sticky point for me, but nevertheless, it's a beautiful golf course and some beautiful golfing traditions. Today was the kickoff ceremony for, I guess it should be the tee-off ceremony, and Three icons were there: Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tom Watson. I grew up watching them play. I know it dates me. I'm 61 years old. But Gary Player from South Africa, Jack Nicklaus, and of course there was Arnold Palmer and Lee Trevino, and then Tom Watson was one of the younger guys coming up, and there was always a debate who was actually the best golfer. Of course, Jack won more tournaments, but Gary Player probably has the most longevity in the course. He's 88 years old, and it is worth your time to go over to YouTube and, you know, look at the Masters Open Ceremony and watch Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tom Watson stroll into the first tee and take their first tee shot. Gary Player still looks like he could line up. He looks just about as fit as he did when he was playing. Jack Nicklaus could barely make it to the tee, barely could get his tee in the ground. You know, obviously he could hit a golf ball probably from a rocking chair if need be, and did that. And Tom Watson was somewhere in the middle. Certainly looked a little haggard, but still had a pretty good golf swing to it. It's well known that Gary Player has always been what the golf community would call a fitness nut. Gary's an outlier. He is predominantly vegetarian. I think for many, many years there was some rumors about him being vegan, but he'll claim vegetarian. He does sit-ups and push-ups every day, does weights, does yoga, he focuses on a positive mental attitude and enjoying the company of others. If this sounds like a blue zoner, you're right. And he has a strict nutrition policy in that he eats a little bit less than he wants, kind of does the push away method. So eats a little less than he needs. And I saw some comments about, well, that could lead to bad things if you're not getting enough nutrients and such. But it's kind of humorous that if you looked at the three get up there, Gary Player was the one that looked good. And just spry, put his tee down, took a big swing down the middle, kicked his leg up like he did in true fashion, like he used to, and went on about it and was very spry, where the other two looked like they could go back to the nursing home in some respects. I grew up golfing with my father and have some very, very fond memories of golf. When I look back, what did I like the most? Probably being with my dad and his buddies. But I always loved the golf swing. And to just show you how much of a outlier, which is a very probably nice way of saying how much of a nerd I am, I love the golf swing, and I can remember reading books on the physics of the golf swing, and I could mock the golf swings of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, and, you know, I wanted to swing more like Gary Player or Freddie Couples, who I thought had the perfect golf swing. There was a guy, Bernard Longer, that also was very much, and actually that was the book I wrote, Into the Physics of the Golf Swing. But I was an outlier even back then. I enjoyed golfing with my dad and his buddies much more than I enjoyed golfing with women in the state tournaments. I found the guys much more fun to be around. I was an outlier from the beginning. I was left-handed. I used my dad's clubs, so I didn't want anything to do with the inferior women's club of the day, so I always hit men's golf clubs. And I hung out more on the golf course than I did the swimming pool. But as I got older and could pay for my own golf, I started to see it in a different light. I started to see it more as a drinking game and in a game of the privileged to overindulge. The 19th hole was full of overindulgence in liquor and fatty foods, big orders, and people just didn't look all that healthy. I grew up walking and carrying my clubs, and most golf courses nowadays are set up to make money and to get as many people as round as quick as they can, so most people spend most of their time in a golf cart. And here in Florida, it's so bad that people almost drive up to on top of the ball and drive up to the tee. And again, the drink carts going around and people go in and, one of the most unhealthy places to eat would be the golf course. And I've had a couple conferences that we rented the golf course dining hall for our lectures and used their chef or brought in a chef. And I've been in those kitchens, and it is full of cheap condiments, high salt food, high oily food, everything to make people happy without regards to health. So high salt, high fat is really the predominant food that you're going to get at the golf course. Now, why is that? You have a group of people that are of a higher socioeconomic scale to be able to afford golf fees, clubs, clothes, so to speak. Yet they are perfectly fine with the worst dietary choices and have changed the game so that it does not hardly resemble a sport for the majority of people. Why is that? Why would that class of people or that group of people be such? And I'm going to tell you, they're not outliers. They're very much not outliers. They're very much want to be with the good crowd. We're going to dress the same, eat the same, overindulge the same way, and nobody rocks the boat. They have earned the right to do it their way, and they're willing to pay for it. And you know what? A lot of people want to be in that club. So you have a lot of people going to golf for just those reasons, to be in the exclusive club, to wear those clothes, to have those golf clubs, and to eat what you want and overindulge. So how does Gary Player fit in? He's an outlier by definition. He's from South Africa. He loves the United States and is probably more patriotic than a lot of players in the current PGA. He was dedicated to fitness well before it became something that other people did. People of his era, Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, and the like, even Arnold Palmer, were, you know, good old boys that like to smoke a cigar and have a drink and eat, again, a high fatty diet. Gary Player was a small guy from again, South Africa, probably had to work a little bit harder to get the respect of the golfing community, but he certainly got it. And he certainly loved people, and he shows that every time he was on the golf course, even today. You know, he interacted and gave golf balls to people, so he was very much in tune and knew that being a golfer was somewhat like being an entertainer, to so to speak, on the pro circuit, especially back in the day. Gary had the ability to fit into both camps. He loved the game of golf, and he was very comfortable in his own skin and doing what he knew suited him best to maintain his health and longevity in the game of golf. You know, I think that some of today's golfer, you know, we'll start with Tiger Woods, probably emulated Gary Player more so than other players. I think that being a student of the game, mindset is incredibly important in golf, probably more than physical ability, as, you know, people debate if you gave the guys today the balls and the clubs of yesteryear, their scores would probably be similar and their distances would probably be similar because it's such a game of the head. I think there are students of the game and students of the lifestyle that revolve around golf. I actually got to meet Gary Player and Jack Nicklaus when I was young. They did a clinic where I grew up and spent a day at an invitational, so to speak. And so this brought back fond memories of those players when they were, you know, in the thick of things. And Gary Player seemed just today on that tee, just like he was in Morgantown, West Virginia, talking to the people, and just a common soul and the love of the game of the golf. So I would challenge some of you out there that are so-called golfers. Are you a lover of the game of golf, or are you a lover of the 19th hole and the country club style of overindulgence? I would hope that you maybe take a bit of a step back and reflect on what golf really was meant to be, the sport of the game to golf, the strategy, the mindset, troubleshooting, the skill and the physics of the golf swing. and perhaps the desire to be more healthy and maybe make some changes in your own country club and ask for some healthy plant-based options. Step out of the crowd a little bit, step away from mainstream and more into a little bit of an outlier role. It certainly has worked for Gary Player. Golf taught me a lot about life. I think that's kind of, it has a little bit to do with ultra running as well. But as, again, growing up, being a young person, playing golf with my dad, playing golf in tournaments, and then playing golf with younger people and both men and women in tournaments as I got older, you could tell a lot about a person by how they conducted themselves on the golf course. There are people that, again, really follow the rules, and there are people that kind of skirt around the rules. The ball kickers, the don't putt it all the way in, the improve your lie, maybe not count all their strokes kind of people, and then the people that really enjoy the game and strategize how to get out of trouble and learn from their mistakes and really hunker down and play the golf game well. I was always impressed by my father. He was a mutter. The worse the weather, the better he played. If he got in behind a tree, it was never, oh no, other than a few cuss words in the beginning. But by the time he got to the ball, it was all about strategizing for the next shot and how he got to the next location and would par the hole. And he was steady as you go. And that's how he also conducted his life. Honest, you know, an honest person that counted all his strokes, never improved his lie, and always took what the good and the bad. And that's a lot of what golf taught me. It taught me how to, you know, again, see what people were all about and maybe read people a little bit better. Not, you know, it's something that I maybe look back on and see more than I did at the time. But even then, you could size people up pretty good on the golf course before the first tee and see what you were dealing with. And certainly by the end of 18 holes, you certainly knew what you were dealing with. And I can remember when I went to my first road race. It was a 5 mile race. It was the first running race that I'd ever went to. And I'm looking around at the people and I'm trying to size them up, size up the competition. And I didn't have a clue. And I saw these runners' legs and different kinds of running shoes. And I longed to be able to see people's golf bag and what kind of golf clubs and what was their swing and swagger all about, because I could read people a lot better on the golf course than I could in a running road race. But then I quickly found out that most of the people in the road race were just happy to be there. And it was a positive atmosphere with everybody cheering for everybody else. And yeah, there was competition in the front of the race, but for the most part, the rest of the pack was all about improving one's own ability to run and one's own health. The beauty about golf and running is the ability to be with other people outside and enjoy the camaraderie of other people. It's kind of funny. I took up running and gave up golf because golf took too long. It takes 3 or 4 hours to play a round of golf, but now running long on the weekend often takes much more than 3 or 4 hours. So, but with when people have young kids and young families, It is very easy to get out and get a lot of exercise in 30 minutes to an hour. You certainly don't have to run marathons or ultra marathons, but it's something that the whole family can go to and enjoy. And it's probably more of a family inclusive for the most part, especially at a young age. Although my dad used to say that was his babysitting job, was taking me golfing when I was, probably between 10 and I would say 10 and 16, I golfed with him. So, and it was a family affair for us. We traveled together as a family and family group, other families and golfing vacations. So my parents made it a family sport more than an exclusive country club sport where I was left behind and they went out and did their thing. So, you know, again, I think that, to each You know, you can make the best out of both worlds. And, you know, certainly Gary Player certainly has. Again, I would just encourage, love to see people in golf be a little bit more health conscious in the majority of the sports as opposed to the upper, you know, 10%. I haven't seen much from my carnivore friends online other than one person posted that they were having to give up the carnivore diet because of their heart attack and their high cholesterol. I've never seen that from a plant-based person posting that they had to give up being plant-based. I've seen people say that they're no longer vegan because they were too skinny and felt weak and woozy, but most of that is basically they were just tired of eating plant-based. Certainly, people don't become weak and woozy eating very healthy fruits and vegetables and whole grains. I did see a bit of an argument on stevia, you know, artificial sweetener that's in colas, and is it good or is it bad? Does it affect the gut microbiome? Some people say that it does. The question is, does it make you healthier? No. Yes, it comes from a plant, but it's processed. You know, why do we need that kind of stuff in our diet? Is it going to make you healthier? No. I do think that some of the artificial sweeteners don't satisfy the sweets craving and maybe drive people for more sweets, where fruits tend to satisfy the fruit cra the sweet craving over time. You know, I always use myself as an example. I had a terrible sweet tooth before I was plant-based. You know, fruit was just not even a consideration as a substitute for cakes or cookies or ice cream to me. It just didn't even, you know, wasn't even worth the effort. I didn't even want fruit in the ice cream word. You know, chocolate something, but not fruit ice cream. And certainly I wouldn't have lowered myself to sorbet or sherbet, you know. But when I became plant-based, obviously I had to give up ice cream. And, you know, I found fruit and gradually started substituting in more and more fruit for even vegan desserts. And, you know, that took care of my fruit craving. So I eat fruit at breakfast. I eat a piece of fruit after lunch. I eat fruit after dinner. And it takes care of all those needs. And, you know, I never thought I'd say it, but, you know, the artificially sweetened or heavy sugar things are not. They don't even sound good to me anymore, which is really weird. We went to a birthday party, people that weren't plant-based, and they had, you know, an ice cream cake and then a cake with a bunch of Cool Whip on the outside. And to me, it just looked like, you know, greasy food that would probably cause heartburn and a lot of other GI irritations. And, you know, I wasn't tempted at all, even with the ice cream cake, because it just didn't look healthy. It just seemed like there would be a film in your throat if you ate it. So you can change over time, but you know, you kind of have to make the decision that you're going to do that. Doug Lau in the Pleasure Trap book wrote, you know, an excellent piece. When you know, you eat something really sugary like a candy bar, you get this big giant rise in dopamine. And when you eat an apple, it's a much lower rise in dopamine. So if you compare the two, there's not a comparison one day, you know, to the next. But if you start eating the fruit, then your receptors are reset. So that level of dopamine becomes very satisfactory for you. And that's really how it works. So it's you can't really cross over on both sides of the, you know, aisle and ever make any inroads. You just have to decide that that's the way you're going to do it. And, you know, after a while, maybe you can go back and indulge once in a while, but for the most part, you have to be very mindful and set your limits, because I can tell you know, when I do my ultra runs out there in the woods and I have an Oreo, you know, the idea is like, I like Oreos now, you know? So you have to do a cutoff, and back to reality and eating what's healthy as opposed to what's going to get you the next 5 miles down the road. Again, I'm looking forward to trying some of the Mama Says products. I'll put a link to her again, because I think that those are some good healthy alternatives that are sweet yet made of natural ingredients that I can, you know, go to a little bit more than the standard Oreos. And, you know, the standard Oreos were basically because they were one of the only vegan things offered on an aid station table out in the middle of nowhere. I'm looking forward to the Cruel Jewel race because the event organizers are plant-based. So apparently there's going to be a lot of plant-based options out in the middle of nowhere. So it should be very exciting. Sugar, that word sugar seems to get mishandled a lot. People substitute sugar and fruit, thinking fruit goes to sugar, bread goes to sugar, potatoes go to sugar. They eventually make their way down to glucose, which is different from a different molecule than sugar. And it's not just the sugar that you're going for, it's the other nutrients. So fruit has fiber, fruit has vitamins and antioxidants and phytonutrients, where table sugar does not. It has calories. Fruit has calories. Sugar has calories. Potato has vitamin C, potassium. Again, antioxidants. You could eat white potatoes and live just fine. You could not live on table sugar. So people get very, very confused about sugar versus carbohydrates and things that ultimately break down to glucose, as does sugar. And it's a, you know, it's a fine line. So no, I'm not for eating a bunch of sugar laden products, you know, sugary cereals and the like, but I'm certainly not going to shy away from fruit. And I've never told anybody to shy away from fruit, other than the fact that, you know, caloric intake, energy intake does have to match your energy needs. So a 5-foot person needs a lot less energy than a 6-foot person. And fruit has energy, just like every other thing has energy in it. So, and when I say energy, I mean calories. So that's where the only distinction comes. But I don't tell anyone not to eat fruit. Sometimes those words are put in my mouth and saying, or people say, well, I don't want to eat that because it's sugary, yet they'll eat something else that's much, much worse for them. So, again, nobody ever got in trouble eating fruit. Regardless if you're walking, running, golfing, playing tennis, I hope you get outside and do something this coming weekend. The more you can be outside, the better. Enjoy the sunshine and eat healthy while you're out doing that. But anytime you can get outside and move, it's also always better than being inside, especially after a long winter for some of you up north. So thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and I'll speak to you next week.